It's time now to get behind the headlines of this week's Hendersonville Lightning with editor and publisher Bill Moss.
Good morning and welcome to Lightning Radio. The Hendersonville Lightning is on the street. The Hendersonville Lightning is in your mailboxes, if you are smart. And the Hendersonville Lightning is now on the radio with Lightning Radio with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. Good morning, Bill Moss.
Good morning, Mark. Good to be back on a bit of a calmer Thursday than last week's experience of high winds and getting knocked off the air.
Absolutely, getting knocked off the air and all kinds of crazy stuff happening last week. You're exactly right. Milder but cold. And then again, just as always, Hendersonville Lightning is out today, and it is packed with news. And as we do every Thursday, Bill, let's get out our shovels and let's dig deep. Let's get behind the headlines of this week's Lightning. What do you say? Let's start with the front page and a big story about Pardee UNC Healthcare. STEMI designation enables Pardee to offer around-the-clock cardiac care. Bill, talk to us about this story and tell us why this is so important for our community.
It's a big deal. As a matter of fact, Mark, it goes back a week ago to last Wednesday. We were covering virtually the meeting, regular monthly meeting, of the Pardee Board of Directors, and this Dr. Joseph Joe Moore and a couple others, including Dr. Ellison, the Chief Medical Officer, and Jay Kirby, talked about this new STEMI designation, which get ready for some big words that I don't know how to pronounce, but it makes Pardee a percutaneous coronary intervention hospital. But the bottom line is it's going to be a very good, swift, quick service. I'm going to read some more details as to why that is, but that came to light in talking about a big deal. I sent an email as soon as the meeting was over to the public relations apparatus of Pardee and said, that sounds like a really big deal. I'd like to get but I'm not sure I fully understand exactly how it all works. I'd like to get an interview with the appropriate sources. And so that was great because that hooked me up for a more in-depth interview with Dr. Joe Moore, and we lead our story with Dr. Moore and his wife towing a U-Haul trailer over the Blue Ridge Mountains last August, and Dr. Moore telling us, you know, you drive 14 hours, that gives you a lot to talk about with your wife, and one of the topics was where they might spend the next chapter in their own lives because their grown children had moved to North Carolina, Concord specifically. Their newly married son had moved to Concord with his wife, both teachers, to Concord, North Carolina, just north of Charlotte. And the other daughter, a wedding florist, was in Birmingham, Alabama. So they said, where are we going to be close to the kids? So as we're all prone to do, he pulls out his smartphone and pulls up one of these doctor job sites or whatever it's called, and found this posting for what's called an interventional cardiologist, which is exactly what he is. And more specifically, the posting targeted one with experience running a heart catheterization lab that does this real quick treatment of heart attack patients. And sure enough, that's what he had been doing. And it sounded like a great opportunity, Moore told the Lightning. I told the people I interviewed with, you know, I was not looking for a job, but everything I found here was exactly what I wanted to do. So that serendipitous job posting and travel over the Blue Ridge Mountains right past Hendersonville turned out to be, as he called it, was a no-brainer for him, but a very good outcome for the medical community and outcomes and even life-saving from this STEMI designation. So you're going to ask, well, are you going to tell us what this means? What it means is that Pardee, not just 8-to-5, which it had with this heart catheterization lab, the ability to quickly balloon and stent arteries that had been clogged or blocked in a heart attack, that has now gone to 24/7. They got the equipment, they got the facility, and as he says, most important, they have the personnel, Dr. Moore and Dr. Fontana. They are recruiting, he tells us, very hard for a third interventional cardiologist in order to continue. They're already staffing it 24/7, but they need help so they're not on call all the time, racing to the hospital to treat these heart attack patients.
Bill, you have a really thorough interview with Dr. Moore in this week's Lightning. We'll touch on some of those questions, but I want to ask you this: does this mean this designation, this STEMI designation? Just memory serves me correct. Typically, when people are suffering from a heart attack in Henderson County, it has always seemed to me that they have been taken to Mission Hospital. Does that mean less people going to Mission, and because Part E can handle this type of care now? Is that what that means?
Bingo. Maybe as many as 30 to 40 these
wow.
heart attack
wow.
per month. Let me read you exactly on point
okay.
to that question from Dr. Moore himself. And this is deeper in. It's a page-long Q&A.
Yeah.
One of those interviews where we thought trying to paraphrase it and just put it in our words was never going to be better, because he was very articulate. He spoke in plain language about things that can be complicated. But in this is right on point to that. We asked him, what happened to make this possible before you arrived 4 weeks ago? He only started himself January 5th. He said it's a concerted effort. Certainly the party board and the CEO, Jay Kirby, are driving things, but they're responding to the request of the people in the community. My impression is you've got a lot of people moving to Henderson County who are coming from all over the country. And then here it comes. They want to have the type of services that they had wherever they came from. They don't want to drive past a perfectly good hospital to go somewhere else to get their heart attack taken care of. And that really is on point of that here in Western North Carolina. He says earlier in the interview, the goal for the EMS is to try and get patients to the hospital as soon as possible when they find that patient in the field who has a heart attack. Here in Western North Carolina, the only hospital that has been doing that 24/7 for the past 40 years has been Mission Hospital. So you're exactly right. No longer are you going to see, especially at night, on weekends, and on other times when our cath lab at Pardee was not up and operating and functional, you won't see that ambulance drive another 45 minutes or longer to reach Mission. And that is very, very critical, because the national guideline for the timing to reopen that aortic artery that's blocked is 90 minutes. And they're shooting for less than that. But here it is. I'll read from Dr. Moore
yeah.
again. The basic principle that we operate on is we need to get that artery open as soon as possible. If we can open it within 90 minutes, we know from studies that have been done over the past 50 years that the heart muscle will sustain much less damage. Patients will have much less heart failure where the pump is not working, and much fewer rhythm complications, all the complications you can see with a heart attack. And then I'll just read one. This was really neat, too. I said, well, what actually happens when the patient is treated on the table in the cath lab? And here's the quote on that. Almost universally, Dr. Moore told us, as soon as we open that artery, their chest feels better, their symptoms go immediately away, their color improves, their blood pressure improves. It's very dramatic sometimes. So what's dramatic about this story is what a leap ahead it is for our community hospital, our county-owned party hospital, recognizing in a growing community and growing, not entirely, but certainly in fairly large part with the baby boom wave is going to reach, prone to heart conditions or heart attack. More and more demand. Traffic is worse and worse to try to get to Mission.
Right.
The community is demanding it. To be honest, we probably have lost people because of this long trip to the next county and the next town over to get into this to get an angioplasty procedure.
Wow. That is great news. That is big news for our community. And again, Bill, thanks for covering this. Again, the STEMI designation, enabling Pardee to offer around-the-clock cardiac care. Bill, before we take our break, let's stay on the front page if we can and get to another story. We've been talking about this on Lightning Radio the last few weeks, and that is the park swap that the county is talking about doing with Henderson County Public Schools. But according to this week's Lightning, that could be in jeopardy. Talk to us about that story, Bill.
Yeah, they might have needed the procedure for a heart attack in City Hall and the school board.
Segway Bill, I love it.
It came as a surprise. It did come as a surprise to the city council and city of Hendersonville administrators. I'm not so sure about the school board. We're going to continue to report on this and get reaction and try to figure out what is a path forward, possibly, if it's possible to pull this thing out of a ditch. But in a ditch it is. As far as you're talking about that park swap, we've already talked about quite a few times. We went back the first coverage. We were the first one to break this story back last summer that it was possibly in the works. And that is the deal that would very quickly would swap Berkeley Park, basically about half of Berkeley Park, for Edwards Park, which is that little park people think of as the home of the scout huts for years and years. They're just north, I think it would be, of the VFW hall, which is also involved in this. That swap was going to be between the city, which would trade that Berkeley Park property, and the school board, which would give the city the Edwards Park property, eventually to move the putt-putt course over there so they could build a new Fire Station 1. All in jeopardy now, all in doubt at this point, because all of a sudden, kind of on a parallel track going back much less time to about December or so, the county entered into negotiations with the VFW Post to buy the VFW property and make that into a center for veteran services, possibly kind of a military museum, which already exists over where the veteran service office is now, and some other possibly social space that civic clubs and so on could rent. But if they're gonna invest $4 million on repairs and renovation to the Hedrick Roads VFW post, then they realize, well, that'll be a much more active public facility at that point, and it will need parking. Well, where do you get the parking? The most logical place is at least part, a third, a half, or whatever part that would be of Edwards Park. So what the county did was it rescinded a vote it had made last August, which cleared the way potentially for the property swap by declaring under the North Carolina law, they declared that property surplus. In other words, they said, no, we don't need it. You're free to sell it, trade it, do something else with it, because we officially say that we don't need it. And that is what they rescinded. It wasn't an agenda item. They rescinded it kind of suddenly, and like I say, to the surprise of city council. There is some movement we'll report on in the coming days to try to negotiate a next step, but we don't know exactly what that will be at this point.
Okay, so here's the big question, Bill. What is on everyone's mind right now, what does that mean for mini golf?
Well, it for the moment, and even had this gone through, you're talking some years ahead. The city has enough on its plate right now.
Okay,
with the new police station in the works and the 7th Avenue. There's other capital projects that are already in the pipe, and indeed already up out of the ground. It'll be fairly soon you'll start to see the new landscaping and streetscaping of 7th Avenue. So what I'm saying, Mark, is it's safe for the 2021 putt-putt season, tourist season, and so on, and maybe for some years after that, because this this certainly has delayed, if not outright scrapped, that whole idea to build a new Fire Station 1 and move the putt-putt course. We don't know, Mark, at this point, because this has been thrown into doubt.
Right. Okay, good. Good. Again, thank you for following that story. Hey, let's take a break. Folks, you are listening to Lightning Radio with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. We'll be back in just a bit. And we are back with Lightning Radio with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. Bill, let's touch on a story you have here on page two. And this is something that we broke out the news on Lightning Radio just a couple of weeks ago when our Steve Smith with the health department was contemplating and talking with the commissioners about creating a wait list for the COVID-19 immunizations. And that is exactly now what has happened. And you have the story here.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You remember that from a couple weeks ago. Yep. When the actually county commissioners were starting a budget retreat to draft a new budget, but they had a more urgent matter of kind of seeing what was going on. They had been hearing a lot. They'd been out on the scene, a couple of them at least, of vaccination clinics, and were very impressed. And that is a very impressive piece of this. That's sort of like the finish line and that or the victory circle or whatever, because then you've gotten your shot. But Steve Smith stood up there and told them, this business with the phone calls crashing the system and being and just never being answered and being on hold for hours and then dropped and never getting through is not sustainable. I don't think this is the way to go. I think I'm going to look into a wait list. And sure enough, he did, and really pretty quickly rolled out this wait list that I think is working very well. Are there thousands of people on the waiting list and only hundreds of shots at a time? Yes, that is true. But people are much more satisfied. And I think we talked about this before. Once they're on the waiting list, if that's some thousands that are on the waiting list, that's some thousands that are no longer calling and overwhelming the system designed to schedule. So we don't know. Again, this is in our tickler file for the coming days, too, to kind of see where this is at the moment. The big problem, you see this on the whether you're watching the national news or the state news or local news, the big problem is supply. So what are we looking at in the number of people on the waiting list, and what are we looking at in the best forecast we can figure out as far as the clinics at North Henderson High School, East Henderson High School, and at Blue Ridge Community College? And what is the difference between those two numbers, I guess, is what people would like to know.
So do you have here in the story, Bill, just exactly where one goes to get themselves on this list?
Oh, it's online. Yeah, it's very easy. You go online to read the story to find out. But it's fairly easy. You don't call. That's the whole idea, to call.
Right, right.
Go to the Henderson County
Department of Health website.
COVID dashboard.
Okay.
And you can get on the waiting list that way.
Okay. Let's tie this in also, Bill, with a story that you have here on page 11 about the North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services launching a website on where to get the COVID shot.
Yeah, there's been, like I say, great demand for this. And last week they released the State Department of Health and Human Services released new tools to help North Carolinians get COVID vaccine questions answered, and that is at the DHHS site. There's a hotline they can call or a website, and that website is yourspotyourshot.nc.gov, and get what Mandy Cohen, the DHHS secretary, calls honest information. So check that out, look at your lightning on page 11, or go to hendersonvillelightning.com for a phone number, which people are supposed to answer Monday through Friday from 7 in the morning until 7 at night, and Saturday and Sunday from 8 in the morning until 4 in the afternoon, to find out your general COVID-19 vaccine questions, information on eligibility groups, clinical questions about the vaccine, how to find vaccine locations, and transportation services.
Okay. Very good. Bill, one of the things that the Hendersonville Lightning is so good at is keeping up with our kids. And, kids who grow up here in Henderson County and then go off to do other things. You call it Kids From Here. And you've got another special edition of that in this week's Lightning. Talk to us about Kids From Here, Bill.
Well, it's always a popular story. We know that because we put stories in HendersonvilleLightning.com, of course, and we can always see how many hits, how many people are opening that headline and reading that story. And if it's a Kids From Here, a lot of people may or may not recognize the name. The name is not always in the headline. They might recognize the face. There's a nice headshot in this case of a kid from here. Maybe she's a bit older now. I think she may have graduated after she graduated from the University of North Carolina with a bachelor's degree in peace, war, and defense. She served the Peace Corps from 2001 to 2003. So not a little kid, but this young lady, Alexandra Bell, is the daughter of Ed, and forgive me if I don't have this right, Sinica or Sinica, S-I-N-I-K-K-A. She's the daughter of the Bells, a well-known family of Tuxedo, and she has been appointed to a new job, it looks like, in the Biden administration, because this was effective on January 20th, which is Inauguration Day. So Ms. Bell's new job is as Deputy Assistant Secretary in the State Department's Bureau of Arms Control, Verification, and Compliance. She is a graduate of East Henderson High School and had worked in a variety of jobs in this field, as Senior Policy Director at the Center for Arms Control and Nonproliferation, and for the Council for a Livable World. So here is, as we've had and talked about in the past, the kids from our Henderson County public schools have gone on to make a difference in the world.
Fantastic. Thanks for following that story. Bill, let's talk about something else. It's hard to believe in this world of pandemic that's not over yet. That people would be thinking about actually opening restaurants during this time. But guess what? They are. And if you want to find out about some new restaurants, all you have to do is look at this week's Lightning and the ever popular Ask Matt series.
Yeah, and I just meant to say, I'm glad we segued into Ask Matt, because tip of the hat to Matt. He's the one that tipped us off about Ms. Alexandra.
Of course. Yeah.
He hears a lot out in the community, whether he's working his job as a volunteer in the visitor center or just going around doing a ton of reporting about fun and different and curious things, or whether he's getting questions from the community. In this case, of course, he lives near kind of the downtown Horseshoe, you might say, which is where both of these new restaurants opening fairly soon are located. One is in that site. It's kind of well known for lots of different things, such as been the Horseshoe Restaurant, Jerry Orr's Restaurant, the Hungry Bear, and most recently Fidelia's, which closed in the summer of 2019. So that property at 4165 Brevard Road is going to now be something called the Crossroads Restaurant, owned and operated by John Turchin. You might remember that name from he's been the owner for, oh gosh, two, three, maybe more years than that now, of the Horseshoe Farm property, which is he's kind of developed into a vacation cabin resort. And so just down the road, back on Highway 64, John Turchin saw this this building, this stone building, available I assume he bought it. And this is interesting here, too. This it goes along with another story we've talked about a lot that he said this is an oasis, a watering hole, but not another brew pub. He hopes to capitalize on the 212 feet of frontage on the proposed Acosta Trail and maybe even include a bike shop in the building. The Crossroads looks like it is expected to open this summer.
Fantastic. That's great news. And again, there we are talking about the Acosta Trail. It's not even here yet. It's already creating opportunities and creating revenue for the community.
That's right.
Bill, let's stay on restaurants for just a minute. You got the story here in our local news about State Representative Tim Moffitt working hard to help bars remain open. Talk to us about that one.
Yeah, and that we have some new news about that. Can read right on HendersonvilleLightning.com, and that is and Tim Moffitt said this during the campaign. He told us this, and we reported back in the summer or maybe early fall, that one of his goals in the legislature is to take up the mantle that Chuck McGrady had been wearing for many, many years, to they describe as to reform the ABC laws, the liquor laws of North Carolina, that they believe are antiquated, overly complicated, and overly regulated, and overly Tim Moffitt, I think, would like to move this more toward privatization and make some other various changes. That's always been a tough climb in the North Carolina legislature, which is it often just tilts toward let's not fool with, you know, trying to privatize liquor sales or do things like put them in grocery stores or do things like have them open on Sundays and that. So we'll see how that goes. But this more immediate thing was, as we said in our headline, kind of a bar rescue. And what it did was there had been kind of a regulatory snafu that where the ABC Commission had revoked or suspended some bar owners' licenses just because the executive orders to shut them down or severely limit their hours or what they or their sales had temporarily closed them, and they had licenses revoked or suspended, and then they had late fees piled on top of that. This kind of fixed all that. Moffitt himself had kind of negotiated with the ABC chairman a fix of this, but this bill would put that in law, and it passed a committee just yesterday. We got that story on HendersonvilleLightning.com. So Tim Moffitt has wasted no time in plunging into a statewide issue that's of interest, particularly now because of the pandemic.
Sure, absolutely. Hey, Bill, we want to remind folks that the Lightning not only has all of these stories where you can get more, but also your local news briefs, everything from state parks attracting record crowds in 2020, Art Mob featuring artists in bloom, Love My Library Month and Story Walk, as well as Friends of the Library holding a sale of mysteries, all kinds of great things you can find in local briefs in this week's Lightning. And Bill, as we say always every Thursday, this week's Lightning is on the streets and it's in your mailboxes. How can people get their copy of the Hendersonville Lightning?
They can go to any of the Lightning Orange racks around the county, and I will make one public service announcement. Sure. About that. We've moved some of the racks and repaired others, and we think we have them all in good shape. But if you do run across one that's not working, or particularly if you run across one, especially early in, around Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, early in the distribution cycle, that's empty, let Jan know at 698-0407, and we'll look at the distribution grid and switch things around, or we'll go up on the press run to try to fill those, because we're starting to get calls. And because of bigger sales, some of those are empty fairly early in the distribution cycle. Like they shouldn't be empty today, but some of them are, and then we go out and refill them when we hear that. So anyway, they can go find one. Most should be fine. There's a lot at Publix, so we try not to run out there. You don't have to have your four quarters. Or by going to HendersonvilleLightning.com and clicking on subscribe, and that will walk you through how to join the growing legions of fans that get their Lightning today, Lightning Thursday. Or also, easy and simple, you get the friendly service by calling Jan at 698-0407.
You've been listening to Lightning Thursday with Bill Moss, editor and publisher.